Well, good morning. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, and for the first time in my life, I might be rooting for the Broncos. I saw a thing going around Facebook, and some of you were nice enough to tag me in it. It said that since it is Super Bowl Sunday, we should act like it's Super Bowl Sunday in church, and every time your pastor makes a good point or says something, instead of saying amen, you're supposed to dunk him with Gatorade instead. So I'm just making sure that there's no Gatorade around me as we start. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. You shouldn't be walking on your knees, so just say, you know, I'll come to you if I need it. There we go. So today we're going to continue in our series on why nobody wants to go to church anymore. And the first reason that people say they don't want to go to church anymore is I feel judged. And the response to that was radical hospitality. The second reason is I don't want to be lectured, and we talked about fearless conversations. The third reason was Christians are a bunch of hypocrites, and we talked about having genuine humility. Today we're going to look at number four reason, your God is irrelevant to my life. The answer to God's irrelevance is to say, let's talk about divine anticipation. It's probably the most powerful, yet the most mysterious response to these four different critiques. In order to tune into the supernatural presence and power of God, we have to hand God control of our lives and of our situations, and allow Him and His Spirit to do His thing. And we don't like to give up control, do we? We don't like the unknown. We don't like opening ourselves up to whatever may happen. We want to plan things out. We want to think about it. We want to process it. We don't want to allow the Spirit to move. We have to trust Him. And so divine anticipation is living in the mystery and the wonder of God. This is how one of the authors states it. More than ever, our culture has squeezed our understanding of life into measurable facts, figures, analysis, scientific findings, technology, and cold, hard proof. Yet God still manages to overtake us. We can't make the sun shine or rain fall. We can't bring a body to life, and we can't explain how the world came to be and how it keeps spinning. Our world is full of mystery. Do you resonate with that at all? Does that hit a bell? Ring a bell, I guess, not hit a bell. To live with divine anticipation is to say that God is here and ready to connect with you in a fresh way. And we need to be open to experiencing God and experiencing the Holy Spirit. A lot of times in churches like ours, we kind of say the Holy Spirit, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but as long as the Holy Spirit stays in this nice little box over here that we understand and we know. But we know that God doesn't work inside of a box. He works outside the box. And so we have to be ready to experience God in new ways and in ways that the Spirit might surprise us. On any given Sunday, the statistics say 44% of people who attended church last week when they did this survey said that they experienced God at church. In contrast, they studied the Life Tree Cafe, which is what we're doing on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights at the cafe, and we did one time already. They said on those people, 83% of people who went to the Life Tree Cafe said that they experienced God at church, or experienced God through that program. That's one of the reasons why we want to do that program, to get more people in tune with God and more people connecting to God and the church. So what is divine anticipation? How does it help show the relevance to God, of God to others? The first thing that divine anticipation is, it's realizing God is actively involved. And these are on your handout if you want to look at that and follow along, or you can watch the screen. Divine anticipation is realizing God is actively involved. So we expectantly trust, we expectantly believe and hope and know that God is at work, not only in our church, but in our lives. And so we anticipate God working. Wouldn't it be amazing if someone, every person that came to church every Sunday said, you know what, I felt God in that church. I sensed God's Spirit. I sensed God's presence. It's kind of a God sighting, if you will. A God sighting is when you see a situation, a person, a place, or a thing, that you see God at work? Think about in your life this week. Where have you seen God at work in your life? Where have you seen God act? Where have you seen God's presence be made known? Number two is grasping God's power. Divine anticipation is grasping God's power. We trust that God is working as He promised, accepting that there are things that we cannot explain. And some people are very uncomfortable with that, saying, I don't know the answer to that. We talked in Sunday school today about God's fairness and how God is not fair most of the time in our opinion of what is fair, right? We have to trust that God has a plan and God has a purpose, and we have to understand that God is all-powerful and does have that plan. Even though it goes against everything that we think we know, God's plan is still better than ours. Divine anticipation is trusting the Holy Spirit, letting go of our own agendas and allowing God to do His work. Divine anticipation is being relevant and realizing that God is relevant to everyone. Now, the church tends to confuse being relevant with being hip or following the latest fad, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about realizing that because we are human beings made in God's image, God is relevant to us. He has sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, and therefore He is relevant to us, and that message is relevant to us. And we need to share that relevancy with the world and with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors. Relevancy is about practices and confessions of faith that addresses people's real concerns and real issues. Number five, divine anticipation is expecting God to show up. No matter the number, when two or more are gathered, God promises to be there. We have a tendency to equate God's presence with numbers. But Jesus, when He was born, didn't draw a very big crowd. And even His closest followers were few in number. Sometimes it's when only a few people show up that you really start to sense God's power in those intimate relationships, intimate settings. Number six, divine anticipation is trusting that God will do only what God can do. God is the one who makes things grow. God is the one who allows things to happen. We need to take a step back and be more observant to see, where is God working? He's making the snow that we see this week. We see the snow coming down. God made that snow. God created that snow. He provided that beauty. He provided those snow days for the kids. And thankfully sent them back to school after a couple days for the parents. Divine anticipation is telling others in an authentic, natural way what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in the lives of others. It's telling our stories and sharing our stories with other people. People don't want to know about your faith if they don't have a reason to know. They want to know because it's changed you. It's become a part of you. It's changed how you think, how you behave. They want to see real life change. They want to see God working in you. Divine anticipation is allowing people to express their faith in their own ways. We can't judge someone's experience or judge someone's heart just on their actions or just how they respond in certain situations. We need to remember that it's not all about Sunday. Now, if you read any church growth material, they will often say, it's about Sunday, stupid. And that's just something that they repeat over and over again. But if you have a laser focus on Sunday and Sunday services, you're really clouding the church's real mission. Because is it really about 60 minutes every week? Is that what our Christian life is supposed to be about? Coming to church for an hour? What about the other 167 hours of the week? Does that matter? And what is really more important there? How we spend the 1 hour or the 167 hours? Sunday is good. Sunday is important. We're to be here at church. Don't hear that wrong. We are to be here at church. This is a good hour. This is a good way to spend your hour. But the main event is to see God at work in and through us and to recognize God's work in and through us and through the cross and through Jesus. And we get that in our hour, hopefully, in church on Sunday. But we have to live that out, the 167 hours that are rest of the day, of the week. We need to be willing as a church to put resources and energy into those things that happen during the other 167 hours and not just focus all of our resources on Sunday service. How can we be the hands and feet of God? How can we reach out to others? How can we connect other people to the power of the Holy Spirit? So that's a little bit about what divine anticipation is. Let's talk about what it is not. And as I said, it's not only what happens on Sunday morning. What if we could expand our once-a-week Jesus to an all-the-time Jesus, an all-the-time worship service? If we had that attitude of worship throughout our whole week, how would our lives be changed? How would the lives of those around us be changed if we went in it with that attitude of, I am living the way that I need to be living because I'm following Jesus and I'm worshiping Jesus all the time, all week long? How would that change your life? How would that change your perspective? How would that change your relationships with other people? Divine anticipation is not mass-produced relevance. It's a personal thing. It's a relational thing. God wants to be connected to us in a personal and intimate way. It's not an issue of biblical illiteracy. Our culture's problem is not that they don't know about God. They can Google all they want about the Bible. They can find out all sorts of things, good and bad. But the real problem is they don't know how to have a relationship with God. That's what's missing. You can't get a relationship via the internet. You have to have that personal connection with other people of like faith and with Jesus. Divine anticipation is not rules. It's not the police station like we talked about a few weeks ago. And it's also not a show. It's not a theater. And again, it's not about numbers. Loving others through divine anticipation isn't something mysterious. In fact, it's something that we can do all the time with everyone that we're with. And so here are some practical ways we can love people and experience divine anticipation. First, we need to embrace your weakness so God can be glorified. Don't view your weaknesses as a shortcoming. View them as a way to show that God is working in you despite your weaknesses. You trust in God in your weaknesses. You trust God to fill in that gap and to fulfill you with His Spirit. We need to soften your heart. It's not easy as to admit that we may not be open to loving all people. We all have people that we struggle with to love. And we need to open ourselves and soften our hearts so that we can love all people the way that God has loved us. Then we need to make a beeline to the cross of Christ, a beeline to Christ. Charles Spurgeon said that when you get to a text in the Bible, you should ask, now what is the road to Christ? Because every text in Scripture has a direct implication about Jesus Christ. We need to connect the dots for people. How are what we experience in each of our lives, in their lives, in our lives, in our community, how does that connect people to Jesus? We need to show those connections. You can make those connections in the mundane parts of life, and you can make those connections in the big moments, like at the birth of a child. It's easy to see the connection there. But how can you connect the dots in other places, in other mundane, everyday life? Then we need to share God's sightings, as I talked about already. Share and celebrate where God is working in your life and working in other people's life. We need to provide time for regular people, quote-unquote, to share testimonies. Not just people that are paid to be up front. We need you up front as well to share your testimonies. Because I'm no better than you just because I have a microphone. We're all in this together. And that's why I love Testimony Sunday, where we have someone come up and share their testimony. How is God working in their life so that we can see? The quote from Schultz on this is, if they're honest, many churchgoers will admit they've heard it all before. But when a regular person shares a personal faith story, people perk up. We hunger for the wonder, awe, and reassurance that God is actively involved in people's lives now. People want to know how God is working in your life. People want to know how your relationship with Jesus changed you and changes you. We need to trust God, realizing that we don't know what God's up to. We need to let go of control and watch as God orchestrates unexpected results. And finally, we need to pray. God wants us constantly connected to Him. And one of the best ways to remain connected to Him is to pray and to read Scripture. Now, if we think about testimonies again, and we think about prayer testimonies, there's a good book called by Mark Batterson called The Circle Maker. And in the daily devotion that goes along with it, Draw the Circle, he talks about prayer testimonies. And prayer testimonies are important because they show the faithfulness of God. They can also make you think, like, if God did that for this person, maybe God can do that for me. So when God answers a prayer, we need to be willing to share the answer with others. If we don't share our prayer requests and our prayer needs and our prayer answers with others, we're really kind of robbing God from His glory of that answered prayer. It's not to gloat that, hey, God answered my prayer. It's to share God's glory with them. Say, look, I had this prayer need, and this is how God answered it. This is God working in my life, and He wants to work in your life as well. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well. She was totally transformed by God's presence, by Jesus' presence. Then she went back to her village and shared her testimony with the people. She shared her testimony with the people, and what did the people do? They responded by wanting their own experience with Jesus. And we should be doing the same thing, sharing our testimonies with other people about Jesus so that they will also go to Jesus to have their own experiences. Those divine encounters are contagious. I want to read to you one story that he put in his book about a prayer testimony and a prayer experience. One of my pastor friends, a local hero, is Mike Minter. Mike is the founding pastor of Reston Bible Church, where he has served for nearly 4 decades. One day over coffee, Mike told me about a missionary friend named Jamie Winship, whose mission field is the Muslim world. Jamie travels to Baghdad frequently. He knows the Quran backward and forward, and he has led countless imams to faith in Jesus Christ. Jamie is one of those guys who prays crazy prayers, and then crazy stuff happens. Divine appointments happen left and right. He'll be praying for a particular person, and that person will just happen to be on the same plane, going to the same place, or in the same restaurant right behind him. One morning, Mike was scheduled to have breakfast with Jamie, so he prayed, "Lord, I'm sick of just hearing stories. I want to see one. Do something that is sovereign, something that is unmistakable." When they got in line to place their order, Mike noticed that the woman in front of them was wearing a traditional Muslim hijab with head covering. All they can see was the woman's eyes. Jamie greeted her in Arabic, which got her attention. Then he said, "I know you." Even though he could only see her eyes, he said, "I heard you speak at the University of Georgia 1 year ago. To which she responded, "I remember you. You sat on the front row." Not only was this woman one of the most influential Muslim women in the world, but Jamie had been praying for her by name. In fact, he had been praying that he would meet her, but he didn't know how to contact her. She happened to be in D.C. from out of town, and evidently God knew they both liked Panera Bread. As a result of the meeting, this woman contacted a number of leading imams who met with Mike and Jamie to dialogue about faith. I think Jamie's prayer, coupled with Mike's prayer for something sovereign to happen, collided at Panera. That is a divine appointment of biblical proportion. And it reveals the power of two people praying. You never know when your prayer will collide with someone else's prayer and result in a miracle. If you haven't read that book, I would encourage you to. It will change your perspective on prayer and the power of prayer. Many of you know that Lori and I have a van, and that van has like 236,000 miles on it, and it's old, and we need to get rid of it, and we needed to change it, and we prayed that something would come along and would change that circumstance for us. And last week or the week before, a guy in town, another pastor in town, called me and said, "Hey, we're selling our van, and we're trading it into this for another van," and it was a church van, and they said, "This is how much they're giving us for it, but do you want it instead?" And he said, "We're taking it at 4 o'clock today," and it was about 1:30, and Lori was at work. I said, "Okay, well, I probably should look at it." It looks really similar to our van. If you didn't know this story, you would think that we did not get a different van. But it has half the miles on it and is 3 or 4 years newer. And the amount that they needed for it was exactly the amount that we had saved for a new vehicle, which would not buy anything, really, if you, like, we didn't know how this was going to happen or how we would do anything other than this amount. And that's what God dropped in our lap, literally, on a Tuesday afternoon, not planning on buying a van that day. I text Lori while she was at work. I said, "We might be buying a van today. Surprise." And it worked out. And so now we're praying that God, someone will buy our old van and quickly, because it's had a lot of interest, but nobody. If you want a van that has a lot of miles on it. But God answers prayer. And so you knew that you weren't going to get through a whole message without doing some sort of interactivity, right? So I want you to think about, how has God been active in your life, in your prayer life, in your life? Where have you seen a God sighting this week or last week or recently? Where have you seen God in the mundane? Or maybe you haven't seen God in your life recently, but where do you expect to see God, or where do you think you might see God in this coming week? So turn to somebody close to you and just talk about that for a minute. Where have you seen God in your life this last week or two, and where do you expect to see God in this next coming week? All right, does anybody feel brave enough to share with all of us where they saw God this week? Yeah. He does that a lot, doesn't he? Anybody else want to share a God sighting that you had? Okay, Lori has one. You want me to say it? You don't want to say it? Okay, she wants me to tell you. We've been praying for her headaches that have been really bad, that she's having severe headaches. We went to the neurologist, which, my gosh, if you want to make money, become a neurologist. Sorry, that's a side note. Sorry, keep going. But so she started on this new medication, and it's really been helping, and she's gone. She had more non-headache days this last week than headache days, which is a brand new experience for her. So praise God that that new medication is working. And that Life Tree Cafe that we talked about, I've been praying about it since, well, my personal retreat in November. And everything has fallen into place exactly in the right timing. And we've found a location that's not going to charge us. And we found Doug and Tina, who had opened their hearts to doing whatever God had called them to do. So I'm really excited about that. That ministry. I'm really excited for Doug and Tina too, making that commitment, being open. And I know others that I've talked to have also made commitments to be open to wherever God leads you. And that's exciting stuff. It can be scary at times. Not knowing, that divine anticipation, not knowing what God's going to do with you. But it's something that we all have to do, and we all have to say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me." Our role is to connect people to God, to connect people to Jesus. And we do that by having divine anticipation and sharing testimonies and sharing stories. God is all around us, working out His plans. We need to connect people with those plans to see where God is moving. We need to open our eyes so that we can see God. And then we need to open our mouths to share God with other people. Say, "Well, this is too hard. This is too uncomfortable." It'll get easier, maybe. But we've still got to do it. The change begins with each one of us, sharing our faith with other people. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for the ways that you have worked in our lives, and we thank you for these testimonies that were shared today. We thank you for the way that you move and that you work and that you are present in our lives and in our world. I pray that you would allow us to see with your eyes those things around us that are truly God sightings. I pray that you would open our eyes so that we can see you and your work. I pray that you would give us the courage to speak and to share with others what we see you doing in our lives and in our lives of those around us, so that you can be glorified, God. We don't do these things so that we can be glorified or that we can be lifted up. We do them so that you, our all-powerful Creator, can be glorified and lifted up and praised. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.